Please stand for the reading of Scripture. On this Ash Wednesday, we hear Scripture from the prophet Isaiah from the 58th chapter, the first 12 verses. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake me, the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such a fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light will shine and break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, and the pointing finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up from the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer to streets to live in. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jeff. It is so good to see everyone this evening. And it's good that we've gathered to worship a God, the God of our Jesus Christ, who lives and invites us. I'm also going to pray, and join me in that prayer. Holy God, our lives are laid open before you. Bring us healing and make us whole. God, I humbly offer these words to your people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last year, we just returned from South Africa on a mission trip, and my friend Allison Faisig, who just moved to the village, preached that night. And I asked her, "How did you prepare a sermon when we were in South Africa? We're really, really busy." And she said that her journey in South Africa helped write the sermon. When Pastor Davis asked me to speak today, he said, "Pick a text from the lectionary." And that was a lectionary reading. I didn't pick it. Somebody did. Tonight, you will hear these words. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These are sobering words. true words about the frailty and mortality that marks our shared humanity. Words that we often want to keep at arm's length. However, tonight I invite you not to keep these words at arm's length. We want these words to pierce our hearts. I trust that your presence today is not a waste of time. But yet, God has something to say to you. As I studied this text, and as I read more about Isaiah's message, I was deeply moved. My world was rocked by what I discovered. There is a lot that you can hear in today's reading. The tone is hard. It is scary. And I wrestled with this text. But I want to submit to you that this is a message of love. Isaiah has a message that speaks to us the heart of God. Two themes emerged for me. Theme number one, God has an abounding love, exceeding love for all of us, for all of God's people. As I read it, my heart swelled with joy. Theme number two, God wants our religious observances to be a means of drawing us closer to God and our neighbors. In Isaiah's words, we hear the heartbeat of God. You sense the courage and urgency in the prophet's words. He does not want the message lost in translation. God commands him to shout out loud, not to hold back. God says, raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people these words. Words that I think were difficult for those people, but also words that are difficult for us. And here are the words Isaiah declared to the people. You are rebellious. And there is sin among you. How's that for a blaring trumpet? But it doesn't end there. You see, the test of all true worship, prayer, fasting, Bible study, missions, service, is this. Does it draw us to God? Does all our religious services draw us closer to God and our neighbors? My friends, this, I believe, is the question of all our devotion. The words Jeff just read, yes, they're hard, but I think they're words of love. Isaiah is responding to the people of God. You see, they had been complaining to God about how God is not paying attention to their fasting, humbling themselves, and other religious observances. Verse 3 says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? This question, my friends, is not just a question that is being asked the people that lived in the 8th century that Isaiah was speaking to. These are questions we ask ourselves. I have asked myself that same question often myself. The question of why. God, why? 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 And often, like these people, I also have a scorecard. I tell God, look, I've been doing good. I did my Bible study. I did my service. I did this and this. Actually, I think these people are really, really doing well. Here's the irony. The claim that they're presenting to God is exactly what God hates. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the teachers. He says to them, you give, You've done all these wonderful religious practices, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, compassion, and mercy. Personally, I believe this is the pitfall of all our religious observances. This is what scares me the most, that sometimes our human endeavors to reach God become idolatry. We seek to make God into who we want God to be. We want our agenda to be God's agenda. This, my friends, is the challenge. And like these people, when they ask God that question, God will always answer. And so God answers them. And so God says to them, day after day, you seek me out. You seem eager to know my ways, but yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. God says to them, you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. God says you strike at each other with wicked fists. Scary, huh? The people who set out to seek the face of God turn on each other, beat up each other, frustrate each other. And God says, I am not going to pay attention to that. This kind of worship is not acceptable. And I really believe it's because God is interested in his people being in relationship with the neighbors. When I read these verses, I hear an indictment. God says you exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. You strike each other with wicked fists. See, I do not believe that God is opposed to organized religion. I believe God's primary concern is for authentic religion in which ritual practices carry relative importance and the priority is placed on the friends of Jesus. My seminary professor, Dr. Meeks, always asked us in seminary, who are the friends of Jesus? When you read the Gospels, where do you see Jesus? You see, the implication of all that Isaiah is presenting it to the people is that if you think you have a relationship with God and you do not have a relationship with the poor, you do not have a relationship with God. I want to say that again. Isaiah is saying to the people, if you think you have a relationship with God and you do not have a relationship with the poor, you do not have a relationship with God. God speaks through the prophet and tells the people the kind of fasting he wants. And God says, the kind of fasting is this, to lose the chains of injustice. Yo, so quiet. I'm from Africa. I need an amen. I'm scared up here. To untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Friends, this is what Isaiah is saying to the people. This is why I believe it is a letter of love. That you have been complaining to God and you're saying, God, you're not hearing us. And Isaiah is saying to them, you've been doing it wrong. Now, I got to give these people a pass. You got to remember they were in exile. They were under a foreign occupation. I imagine they were obsessed with themselves and it was about me, 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 me. I got to take care of my own. You and I have our own exiles. But this is what I do think. My exile does not excuse me from doing the will of God. I'm not exempt from the heart and the mission of God because of my own exile. So we do understand that they've neglected much in their fasting. Prayer is not acting out or verbally making known our good intentions to God. Rather, it is a spiritual and hands-on engagement in word and deed with a world that God so dearly loves, as ones who have been loved and received, and ones who have received God's grace. In becoming friends with the friends of Jesus, we see that God dwells among the downtrodden. We see that God lives among the outcasts, the prisoners. We see the healing grace of God. We see the orphans adopted into the family of God. We see the widow cared for. We see yokes broken. Anyone in any condition of struggle, we see them cared for. Friends, true religion in the eyes of God is not whether we practice justice or just spend our days in prayer. That's not what I'm saying. It is not an either or, but rather it is both and. It is marrying our justification with the justice of God. It is moving on from salvation to sanctification. It is engaging. It is letting our faith be tested in the muddy waters of life. And God has a promise for us. And here's the promise. From verse 8 to verse 12, God says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will appear quickly. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Who wants to hear God say, "Here I am"? This is the promise of God. And goes on to say, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk. I had a plug in for what we hear on TV lately, but I won't say it. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. God will satisfy your needs. In a sun-scorched land, God will strengthen your frame. You'll be like well-watered garden, like spring whose waters never fail. Friends, this is a powerful promise. God will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. I think of the markets when they crash. I think of all of that. God says, "I will watch over you, because you will take care of those without." And finally, God promises that your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Isaiah's words to God's people are words of love. Now the people know. Now we know. We know that everyone who thirsts can come to the waters. He who has no money can come and buy without money and without price. The invitation initiates us into a way of life. As I read this text and as I wind down, I remembered a story I want to share with you. I wrestled with this text because it's almost God is saying, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget. As you seek me, do not forget. As many of you know, I come from Uganda, and some of you have been to my mother's house. So I was raised in an interesting environment because at age 5, my father died, and my mother was left with 11 children. And like any mother who works hard to fight for her children, my mother is a fierce warrior and did everything. She told us about God and inspired us to love God and to trust that God will take care of us. At that time, none of us had finished even high school or all of her children. But through her hard work and prayer and dedication, all of us have achieved certain levels of success. My mother celebrates all our success. She's never told me this, but I have observed something. No matter how successful any of us gets, my mother always reminds us, remember the least of these. She literally reminds us never, 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 never to forget. I can tell her all my accolades, but the moment she sees me forgetting, oh boy, I get in trouble. And I was meditating on that story this morning. And I said, you and I have been blessed by God. We have received many blessings of God. And I would say to us that God is saying, do not forget what I've done for you. Go back to your brothers and sisters in the highways, in the byways. Go buy another crack house. Go build another school. Go build a hospital. Do not stop. Remember what I have done for you. My friends, as we begin this journey of Lent, this is what I believe God has laid on my heart. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. These are the words from Genesis 3:19. Tonight, ashes will be imposed on your head, forehead. Ashes speak of messiness. They speak of dust. They speak of death. But they're not just an imposition of ashes. The pastors will impose them in the shape of a cross, reminding you that you have been redeemed and you have been claimed by God. And that we do not do life alone, but we share life with the friends of Jesus. It is my prayer that in the next 40 days, you will fast as the Spirit will lead you. You will draw closer to God. I want that so dearly. And you will draw close to the people that God so dearly loves. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.